This is episode 3 of the Shoot for Ball podcast. It is Carrington Harrison here. I like to think of myself as a young Brandon Ingram. To my left, I got a Stromile Swift, Aaron Bond here. A good Stromile Swift.
You're going to have to stop giving me all these players that – that's disrespect, man.
It's trash.
And then to my right, I got Tyrus Thomas. I mean, that's who we got right here. That's who we got as a unit here. I'm Brandon Ingram. We got Tyrus Thomas.
First
and we got
Stromile Swift. How did you get Brandon Ingram back-to-back weeks, and we got these bums back-to-back weeks? You consistent with your trash, but you give us even worse trash.
All right, Kyle Kuzma. All right, I'm the Kyle Kuzma of the group. I got absolutely no problem with being Kyle Kuzma. AB had baby daddy duty today, so he can't be with us today. So we put a bottle of Hennessy in his place. Word to my dog, Shannon Sharp. All right, let's start with this in episode 3 of the Shoot for Ball podcast. The Lakers had a very eventful week. In the beginning, it seemed like they was going to fire your boy Luke Walton. It seemed like he wasn't going to make it. And then Magic had to come out here and say, no, we're not firing Luke Walton. Is it just inevitable that the Lakers are going to move on from Luke Walton? LeBron, he don't seem too fond of old Luke Walton.
I don't know if he's fond of him or not. I really think it's the overhype right now. I don't know why Magic was meeting with him. I wish we had more information about that. They said it was because of the two-game loss that they had on the road. But the whole LeBron effect seems to be kicking in L.A. to me. Where they were trying to win now after talking all that stuff in the offseason and all summer, talking about they got patience. You don't have patience when you got the best player of the planet on your team. You're trying to win.
You know, like you said, it's that LeBron effect, man. Anything that happens is going to be overhyped. It's going to be magnified. Like, you know what I'm saying? This could have just been a regular meeting that he always have with him.
The Tuesday meeting.
Check in. You know what I'm saying? It could be some meetings that he always cussing at.
I actually kind of think my theory on this is I think they put this out as a feeler to see how the NBA media would take it. This came from Woj. This wasn't like it was some random sports radio guy. This came from Woj. So, to me, it came from the team. Like, the team told Woj this. Like, I think if you really follow it, you can tell that Shams normally gets stuff from the players and Woj gets information from the teams. To me, the Lakers wanted it out there that they were thinking about moving on from Luke Walton. I don't think that's a coincidence. And it happened, what, 3 days after your boy Tyronn Lue, who you was basically calling him Red Auerbach last podcast, you was calling him Red Auerbach.
You think they're trying to hire Ty Lue?
Brian clearly likes Tyronn Lue. That's his guy.
I don't know about all that. Let's not start all the theories and shit already.
I got theories.
They're getting rid of one Laker to get another Laker that fast. I mean, Luke about as high on the Laker tree as Ty is out here.
I'm not hiring nobody who got stepped over. I'm not hiring you.
Hey, hold on. Hey, chill. But who got the ring out that series? Hey,
Kobe, Shaq,
Tyron.
Ty was just there for the ride.
He got a ring.
Me and you could have been on the Lakers and they would have won a ring.
I don't necessarily agree with the theories, but I do agree with the fact that since Luke Walton isn't Magic and Rob's guy, you know, so that's not who they hired. I think that that's where – you know, you can say that it's a lot more pressure. I mean, besides the fact you got the best player in the world on your team. But when you got that on top of, like you said, that's not their guy. So when you bring in – a lot of times when new GMs come along in any sport, they want to bring in their people. You know what I'm saying? They usually start out, they'll give that guy, whoever's there, a chance. And then they'll see where it goes from. And a lot of times, and if they're not winning, they eventually move on. So I think that's one of the main reasons why he's on the hot seat, just because, like I said, they really want to bring somebody in that they really feel comfortable with.
And then I think you got to factor in, you say that he's not Rob's or Magic's guy. He ain't LeBron's guy either.
How do we know who is LeBron's guy? I mean,
Brian didn't want Spoelstra, but Spoelstra delivered two rings.
This is my question. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have the answer to this. How do I know Luke Walton's a good coach? I'm not saying he's a bad coach.
That is a very valid question.
I keep hearing everybody tell me, problem ain't Luke. How do you know the problem ain't Luke? What have we seen to suggest that Luke Walton's a good coach? I ain't seen no convincing evidence he ain't a good coach.
I think he did better last year and showed that he could improve with – the guys that he had last year, they was a better team than they were the year before that. Of course, when he had the 73-9 team, but that was pre-KD, and he still got the best out of that team. Now, granted, you had Steph and Clay, two all-time shooters, but still.
He had to bring up the Warriors.
I mean, that's his only other coaching experience. What do you want me to say?
Nobody did bring them up.
You could have coached the Warriors. That's what I be feeling like. We be giving these dudes credits for doing stuff that we could do. I'm not saying if I coached the Warriors for 82 games and Luke Walton coached the game for 82, like, you wouldn't see no difference. I'm saying is I could coach the Warriors and that team would still make the playoffs.
They, I'm 100% make the playoffs, but getting better is two different things, though.
That year, that was just a magical year, that regular season. Like,
yeah, it was.
I if you would have put – trade right him out for –
Coastline. Yeah, it was. Yeah, hey, it was. It was special. I stayed up late night every night. You know, I was watching it.
Hey, trade him out for Mike Brown, and I still think the same thing would have happened. They would have won all them games. But Luke was already one of those hot up-and-coming names in the league, you know, in NBA circles because of his pedigree – with his father, and just even when he played, he always had the reputation of a guy that was prepared. He knew how to play. You know, he wasn't, you know, the best player, but he always knew what was going on. You can always put him out there, and you can expect that he was going to do the right thing. So when you have those type of guys, you know what I'm saying, they feel like they're going to get respect from other NBA players. When you bring a guy that's played and a young guy, and, you know what I'm saying, the league, he has that reputation of, you know, he kind of's a brother. You know? He's kind of a brother.
Is he a brother or a corn brother?
He's a brother.
What do you mean?
So, you know, he has that respect, and I felt that he was eventually going to get a coaching gig, but I think everything just kind of hit at the right time for him. But now that he's in this situation with LeBron, he's with the Lakers, Magic's back, you know, he wants results now. So I feel that he's going to make it through the year. I don't feel that he's going to be the coach for the 2019-2020 Lakers. I really don't feel that.
They were even throwing out names. They were throwing out Jason Kidd's name and Mark Jackson's name.
One of them are better coaches than Luke Walton to me.
I don't think that's an upgrade. I'm with you. I don't think hiring Jason Kidd or Mark Jackson is an upgrade over Luke Walton. To your point, though, Bond, I don't know if Luke Walton is a good coach. I do feel strongly enough to know to say he is not a bad coach. I do feel strongly enough to say that. I don't know if he's good. Like, I don't know if he's a top-tier coach in the NBA. I don't think he's bad, though.
My question is this, though. We've seen LeBron be with bad coaches and still did a ton. Do we think Luke is a better coach than David Blatt? Without a doubt, yes. So, yes. I mean, at the end of the day.
Is David Blatt still alive, bro? I'm not even trying to be funny.
He's still alive. He's back.
He's overseas
back,
somewhere getting it
in. In his niche.
Bruh, he got fired in the middle of the season. You ain't heard from, seen. I ain't seen an Instagram post. I ain't seen a tweet.
He's thrown some shade. He's thrown some shade their way.
Last year.
Okay, my bad. I didn't know. I mean.
The end of the day is the Lakers just aren't talented. Let's just keep it a buck. In this day's NBA, they're not good enough to win games, even though they have the best player in the league. They need more shooting bad. They about to get Tyson Chandler because they definitely needed a backup
center. Can't guard nobody, too. I mean, that's the Lakers' biggest problem right now. Like, I don't think they know that you're supposed to actually stop the other team from scoring. I don't think they know that very fundamental fact of basketball. They can't defend at all.
Scoring across the league is a lot of emphasis on them not playing defense. But with these new rules, like, yeah, they might be one of the lower tier teams on the defensive efficiency side of the ball. But just around the league, it's like every night it's 142 to 120, and like that's just where the league is going now. So I understand you gotta, when it comes down to defense in the league now, I think the emphasis is to be put on getting stops when you need stops. You know what I'm saying? Not just because if a team score 119 points and I'm at 118, you know, I'm there. It's just about getting them stops at the right time. So I think it's too much emphasis being put on that, and I wouldn't necessarily say the Lakers aren't talented, but I don't think that the team that they have this year is the team that you need to be putting pressure on Luke Walton and saying that, yeah, we need to get some dubs, we need to do this and that. Like, if you was realistic about it, you just have to face facts that it was going to be a slow start. It was going to be a transition. This is a whole basically new team. You got, what, 3-4 players coming back from last year's team. Like, it's just a brand new team, so you got to give it a little time to see what's going to happen. That's why I'm really not judging it until after All-Star break and see where they're at. But this team wasn't going to compete for a championship this year, I mean, if you was realistic about it.
That's maybe the surprising thing about the whole thing is, like, I don't know how, if you're Magic, even though you know you got LeBron and you look at the roster. You got LeBron. You got a bunch of one-year contracts. You got a bunch of young guys. We all knew that it was going to take some time to gel and get cohesive and kind of bond together. That was supposed to happen in 9 games? Like, we all knew that the Lakers were going to be a better team in January than the start of the season. That we're not even judging them at this point. Like, I don't know how you can be nervous of
that's
it.
That's the LeBron effect taking over.
Yeah, so again, to me, the fact of I 100% think that they put this out through Woj. 100% think that the Lakers put it out through Woj. Maybe they did it to try to motivate the team.
It's a whole bunch of flip-flop. I don't know what direction the Lakers are going because right now they just, like we said already, they just got Tyson Chandler. And I'm sure he's probably on a buyout, so he is on a buyout. So
you like that move, Bob? You like the Tyson Chandler move?
Definitely. They definitely needed an upgrade in size because once JaVale left the court, like they didn't have any bigs. Like they were long, but they don't have any big guys. So once he left the court, it was just free reign. Come on, drive to the lane, get a layup anytime you wanted to. But I think that's going to help them. But it's not going to, do anything that's going to push them to we're going to.
Right. That's what confused me about the move. I was wondering why they even did it because it's definitely not, like you said, pushing them to contention. If he's only there for a year.
Y'all looked at this way more serious than I looked at it. I looked at the very simple fact of Tyson Chandler, I can't believe he's still in the league.
But he's also a West Coast guy too. So, it wasn't going to hurt.
Tyson Chandler was drafted in 2001, bro. Tyson Chandler got drafted
them Erica Dampier
in 2000. I'm sitting here looking at it. He was drafted in the 01 draft, the second overall pick. How is Tyson Chandler still getting league money?
7'1" or 7', whatever.
7'1", long leg, he can block shots.
He was making big money.
Heck yeah.
How much money do you think Tyson Chandler made his NBA career? I'm going to look it up.
Probably least, $150 million.
How much money do you think? All right, let's look it up. All right, Price is Right. How much money has Tyson Chandler made in his career? You can't go over. Brian.
I said $150
million. I'm going to go $135.
Tyson Chandler has made $185 million dollars in his NBA career.
That's a great life, Tyson.
He's out here stealing money.
That's a great life, Tyson.
It's a
criminal.
Bro, it's a lot of players in the league that you wouldn't think has made a lot of – I was looking at Drew Gooden.
We're going to look at like Reggie Jackson's career. We're going to look at Reggie Jackson from Boston College. We're going to look at his career. He's going to make $200 million in his NBA career. I'm
surprised how much cash earnings that some of these players have made over a long time. So I look at what's your cash earnings?
Guaranteed dollars at that. Guaranteed.
Yo, Harden's going to make like half a billy by the time he's done playing the NBA. Harden's going to make – you couldn't tell me nothing if I was worth half $1 billion. That's just off basketball. Not counting no Adidas money. Not counting no extra money.
If you're a player in this generation, I know we're kind of off topic now, but if you're a player in this generation and you come in and you become one of those players that stick around for 15, 17 years, you are going to rack it up.
$185 for Tyson Chandler. Has he ever made an All-Star game?
Nope.
He didn't make one when he was just defensive player of the year.
Yeah, bro, Tyson Chandler made $185 and not made one All-Star game in his NBA career. I do know that one.
Eric Dampier made over $100 million. Yo, he was just trash.
If I'm Chris Paul, whenever he goes into the Hall of Fame, I just got to show you what I did for Tyson Chandler's NBA career. That's all I'm going to show you. I'm not going to show you nothing else. I'm not going to show you anything else I did. I'm going to just show you a 5-minute highlight reel of Tyson Chandler.
Him and DeAndre,
like,
both
who looked like Blake Griffin for 3 weeks. He looked like Blake Griffin. Tyson Chandler made the All-Star team back in 2013.
Oh, okay.
He also won a Defensive Player of the Year, which I don't really know what that means anymore.
Is that when he's with the Knicks?
Yeah, it was. It was with the Knicks. Yeah. It was with the Knicks back in 2011 through 2014. It's the longest Tyson Chandler talk I've had since Eddie Curry. Since the Eddie Curry day. I ain't talked this long about Tyson Chandler in a very, very long time. Yo, let's get to this. I've been wanting to talk to you about this the whole time. I actually am on Jamal Murray's side yesterday. I'm on Jamal Murray's side. I think it's cornball to go try to dunk in that scenario. But, yo, you already scored 48. It's the end of the game. You shoot a 35-foot jump shot. If you make it, you get 50. If you don't make it, I'm on your side.
I don't care what Jamal did, but I'm here for Kyrie reacting the way he did. If Jamal want to shoot, shoot. But somebody on the other team definitely should be doing something because he came over here to try to get his career-high game ball. I would have drop kick that ball so far up in the stands if I was Kyrie too.
He got a better arm than Sam Darnold, low key. Low key. Wait, he threw that ball in the stands. I was like, Kyrie could start for the Arizona Cardinals right now at quarterback. I was impressed.
I understand it from both sides. 50 points in the league is that's a mark that you want to get. So I understand it from both sides. So that's why, you know, it really, even though that's my squad, that's my team, shout out to my McNuggets. You know, I
you might have actually been right about the Nuggets. I don't want to admit that. You might have been right about the Nuggets.
Let's get to the All-Star break first.
But right now, they looking good. Young talent.
Let the Warriors get, let's let the Warriors get to the All-Star break. But
what you mean? We're 9-1-2.
That's what I'm saying. So we're going to talk about it. Let's wait till we get to the All-Star break. The season.
We got a little season under our pedigree, though.
Anyway,
this dude, Brian, said we. Like, he coming off the bench.
I am.
No, that's Sean Livingston.
He got a couple Nike hoodies, and now he's Inky on the team.
I do.
But, yeah, I understood it from both sides. So there wasn't really no lean. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be with my boy first, but – I know how the league is, and, you know, in all these sports now with all these unwritten rules, like, if he was going to take that shot, okay, you take it, but you got to be prepared for what's going to come after that. So I understood the backlash from that. But then again, at the same time, all that anger that Kyrie showed at the end of that game, like, where was that during the game? Like, if you would have no shown defense. A little bit of that fire during the game, maybe that 46 turns into 32, you know? But
he got his buckets offensively.
Right. Don't wait till
you
after
know
the game.
Kyrie ain't guarded a damn soul.
He got juked by the stutter step by Victor Oladipo for that game.
Then your boy Marcus Morris, or Markeith, I can't never tell them two apart. He wanted to talk tough. It was just unprofessional. Bro, you ain't nobody be questioning anybody's professionalism in the
fine.
NBA.
He's good with saying that because he's actually cool.
Fake goon.
But he's cool with Jamal Murray. Like, that's something that he's cool. They're actually cool. So what he said and all that, you know, I really just throw that up under the rug. And he a Jayhawk too, so he cool. But but like all that, him kicking the ball in the stand, like all that extra stuff, like yeah, if you show that fire in the game, like y'all might could have pulled that out. But I don't get that all that extra stuff afterwards that players do. Now Jamal Murray does have a reputation. I will say this: he does have a reputation for doing some nut ass shit at the end of the games. last year he did that shit to Lonzo Ball with the whole dribbling the ball through his legs. I was actually at that game. And when you see it,
very nice humble brag. By
no, right. No, but I'm saying,
next time he was gonna say on the court.
No, it was I ain't a brag. No,
undefeated, no, never lost.
I promise not what I meant by that. But when you
next to a nugget,
when I saw it in person, like it just looked it looked harmless. But then when I got back and saw the replay and saw what he did, I'm like, oh, this is really awesome bullshit. So I understand that he has a reputation, and that's something that he's gonna have to learn to stop doing, because somebody gonna come in and give him a hard foul one time, and he gonna be sitting over there on the bench. But I mean, yeah, that Kyrie, all that extra stuff he did yesterday, you know, all he did was cost himself some money, and he ended up getting fined for that punt or whatever he
did. I'm just always gonna be on the side in professional sports where if you don't want him to do it, stop it. It's not like we're talking about Kansas going up against Central Arkansas Tech that, like, clearly aren't on the same level. We talking about Boston Celtics. We talking about Denver Nuggets. If you don't want Jamal Murray to score 50 points on you, you have 48 minutes to stop him from getting 50 to not even be in that situation. You about to lose at the end of the game. The kids out there, how old is Jamal Murray? 21. Mm-hmm. He trying to get his first 50-point game in the league. I ain't got no problem with that. And like Bond said, make a mental note, and the next time you see him and he come through the lane, Kurt Rambis his ass. And I'm talking about office – what was that? Terry Tate office linebacker, clothesline his ass.
He
didn't
even got to do that.
And it's over.
Just put in work. You know y'all going to see him in Boston again. Yep. That's just okay.
Give him buckets then at that point.
Exactly. Let's see. We'll make sure that he don't – that doesn't happen this time. But that extra, man, it was to me. I thought it was just a show. I think that was something that, you know, he was, you know, Boston ain't really been looking too shabby so far. So I think that was just one of them vets. Let me try to light a fire, you know what I'm saying, through doing this, and maybe this will carry over to our next few games. But to be mad over, if you mad over that shot, but you wasn't mad in quarters 2, 3, and 4 when he was going off. Like, come on now. Get out of here, Kyrie, or Little Mountain, whatever your name is.
It's always something with Cleveland. Like, Cleveland right now, they're like my NBA
they
Oakland Raiders.
They got to find a way to get in the news.
They're my NBA Oakland Raiders. Every day you get on Twitter, it's always some dumb shit that John Gruden is talking about. It's always some dumb shit. That Cleveland, every day I look at that, it's some dumb shit we got to talk about. So it starts with them firing Tyronn Lue. They completely was messing up the contract with your dog, Larry Drew. I don't know what they were trying to do with Larry Drew's deal. Like, they were trying to pay him $32 in a bus pass to coach for the rest of the season. He didn't want to do it. They finally agreed that they would let him do it. J.R. Smith is like, yo, I don't want to be here. Trade me. He's still on the team.
They played him last game.
He's not getting no minutes. And then a Bleacher Report, I believe it was actually the Athletics. So I want to make sure I get that right. They got the report about Colin Sexton. He's 19 years old. Like, we really criticize.
The Vets is throwing him under the bus.
No, we really out here criticizing a 19-year-old dude in the media, bro, saying he doesn't know how to play basketball. That's what we're doing to Colin Sexton.
Number two pick or whatever number he was. He needed to know how to play basketball.
And I understand the Vets being frustrated after hearing a little bit more about it. It wasn't just necessarily them thinking that he doesn't know how to play. It's the fact that they have tried to, like, the report is several have tried to actually not necessarily teach him, but kind of, you know, show him the ropes.
Because I read that with George Hill, because, like, they were saying that, like, George Hill doesn't think that Colin Sexton will listen to him. And I'd be sitting there thinking, like, bro, you 19 years old. You was in college last year. You're not listening to a double-digit year veteran like George Hill in the league?
Why not,
like,
though? Why would you not listen to him?
But that's that mentality coming. He comes in with that mentality, like, you know, look, I'm the high draft pick. You know what I'm saying?
LeBron ain't here no more.
This is going to be your team. You know, just look, the writing's on the wall. Like, these niggas is old. They not about to be here for much longer. So – now they trying to come and tell me, you know what I'm saying, what to do. I'm not trying to hear that. And that's where I feel the frustration is, you know, just from listening to the reports, is because he's kind of basically just blowing them off. They trying to show him what's up. They just blowing them off. Now, what I don't agree with is them going in the media and talking about it.
To me, it's one thing to go at JR through the media. Like, JR done done it before. He played in New York. Dog, less than 10 games in, we got a report about Colin Sexton. Like, the Cavs got a lot of problems. Colin Sexton isn't one of their biggest problems right now.
It's a way to handle that. If you – okay, you got this rookie in there, this little hothead that don't really want to listen to what we got to say.
He wanted to call him a whippersnapper. All right.
Whippersnapper.
Young Bucks.
This is what we going to do. This is what we going to do. In practice, and we going to make sure – that we going at your ass in practice. We setting hard screens on you.
Beverly treatment.
Like, yeah, we gonna make this hard on you. That's the way you send a message to them. But to go and start pillow talking to the media about
on your 40 this, out here on your 40.
Hey, to about the rookie. On top of the fact, it ain't like y'all winning. Y'all is hot garbage. So I mean, it's like it's that whole situation over there. It gets funnier by the day, it seems.
Would you trade for JR?
No. Couldn't do it. Damn. Couldn't do it.
No.
I would, no.
Can't
I,
do it. Cannot play with him.
I definitely wouldn't trade for him, but if he got bought out, that's a different story. He's making too much money for me to trade for a veteran two-guard that's, you know, making $14 million a year. Like, so I definitely wouldn't trade for him. But if he got bought out, that's a different story.
I actually know what I was going to say now. With Colin Sexton, I think maybe remember that one episode, I think it was actually when it was on ESPN, how LeBron was talking about how, like, basic NBA players don't know how to run
flex.
Yeah,
him and Draymond was talking about
that. Like, how to run, like, basic stuff. Yeah. But I was reading that story in The Athletic, and they're talking about Colin Sexton, like, he can't defend the pick and roll. You played point guard. You played at a high level last year. Avery Johnson was your coach in Alabama. You don't know how to defend the pick and roll? Like, that's just so mind-blowing that, like, the basic fundamentals of being a great basketball player.
It probably
Colin Sexton didn't come into the league with it.
it probably just goes to show what the Cavs have been saying, though. He might not have been willing to learn and accept instruction even in college, though.
Yeah, and then in college, too, you got to think, like, he had the ball in his hand all the time, and Avery was just letting him just do him. Like, literally, he was really just literally doing him. Yeah. Hell, he put up, what, almost, what is it, 40-something with four players or three players whenever that game when everybody fouled out with Alabama, like – I'm going to be honest. Alabama wasn't running no pro-style offenses. You know, it was just get a ball to Colin and let him do something with it. And that was pretty much it. So now when you got to come, you got to start thinking the game. And at his position, like he's at a premium position where the point guard position is – you got somebody coming at your neck every single night.
This might be the deepest point guard's ever been in the history of the NBA. Like, the deepest it's been. Like, Doncic had a really good season.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, Doncic isn't even cracking top 12 point guards in the NBA at this point. And he's been fantastic so far this season. Trae Young's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, man, point guard is just so incredibly deep right now.
It's all a ploy on some of them vets. Like, they really want out. Like, they really want out. I can understand JR's situation, too, because, you know, the reports are, like, they basically was telling him that we kind of don't really want you here, but we paying you. You can kind of go home if you want to.
They didn't kind of tell JR that. They definitely told JR. You saying they kind of told JR that. I've been following this. They didn't kind of say that. They've been pretty open with JR. We don't need you.
They hitting him with that T.O. treatment.
They, you know, they try to get it.
Stay away.
Basically, yeah, we'll pay you. Just stay away. But then again, you can't tell a guy like JR that because – what he's going to do is, well, all right, y'all want to do all this, and I'm going to go talk to the media. I'm going to start adding some extra fuel to this fire to where y'all don't have no choice but to get rid of me, which is actually kind of – it's dumb and smart at the same time on his end.
That's J.R. Smith in a nutshell. That's super J.R. That's dumb and smart in a nutshell.
If y'all
his whole career
if
summed
y'all
up.
If y'all don't want him, you know, negotiate a buyout with him because, like you said, ain't nobody is going to
trade. You got three more years on that contract.
Smith. No, nobody's going to trade for him. So negotiate some type of buyout to get him. If you want to get him out of the locker, like they need to get all those old guys out. Only guy that they can keep is Kevin Love. That's the only one that I'd be comfortable with them keeping. But all the rest of them.
You probably can't get that. That Jordan Clarkson contract, you probably not getting
Jordan
off
Clarkson
the books.
Jordan Clarkson's staying. I don't really count him as. I'm talking about the old guy. Like you can keep those young. You want to keep Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood. Like all those guys, they can stick around. But I'm talking about the vets that have been through, you know, the championship run, the Channing Frye, the J.R. Smiths, the Kyle Korvers. They got to go. Like, and I know Kyle Korver ain't a locker room, you know, detriment.
Right.
You know, he's just
showing up.
He's actually an ass. Like, somebody would pick him up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But those old guys, just go ahead, let them go. Let this be Collins team, start over from scratch, and – You'll have some harmony in that locker room, but right now it's like I said, it's gonna be a comedy show every week.
I like that.
Until
great fodder for us. great fodder for us
until,
on this.
Until something happens, then you got to say it's old guy versus the young guy. You got Larry Drew. He's from Tyronn Lue's school where he wants to play the vets. That's why JR is back playing.
Now. Yeah.
So it's a whole that whole situation, man. Until they get them out, it's going to be this every week.
I just want him to go to the Timberwolves. If I could pick any situation for JR to go to, I want him to go play for the Timberwolves.
Take over Butler's, man.
Jimmy Butler over here doing a Petey Pablo, take your shirt off with a towel on the bench. Just like a kid. I saw Chris Broussard said this, like, in the NFL, you hold out. In the NBA, you act out. Like, Jimmy Butler is doing everything in his power to get traded from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, literally, you know what? I need to rest. Bro, it's game 6. The only people that should be resting right now are old players, Kawhi Leonard and Joel Embiid because of health reasons. Everybody else, week 3 of the NBA season,
should
no ass
to go.
Be out there.
Should be good
but
to go.
He know he's gone. That's why I think he's acting out. I really
trade his ass to Sacramento.
He knows.
You don't like it here? Go to Memphis.
He's a smart guy, and I think he knows it's just a matter of time. So right, that's why he's, you know, he's sitting his games out, preserving his body per se.
You don't like it here? Go to Orlando.
He knows that he's. I mean, everybody knows. Like, you cannot keep him past the All-Star break. Like, you're going to have to trade him. So right now it's just he's just keeping that seat warm. He's going to, you know, do what he got to do. And that's why he don't really give a damn about, you know, his antics. You know what I'm saying?
He's showing all the antics.
Can't nobody say nothing to him. He proved that by coming into the locker room, you know what I'm saying, on his Eddie Kane.
Hospital on a new management.
Like, talking, like, anytime where you can go into, come back into the locker room and talk shit to management, coaching staff, and the players, telling them about how y'all need me.
Y'all, you know, trash.
Y'all can't win without me. Like, that shows you that he didn't give a damn about what was going to go down or how he was going to act. So, I mean, to me, it's just, he just needs to go ahead, chill out. Just chill out. Wait till you get traded, and then just move on from there.
Again, another situation. I like it. I hope he continues to do this dumb shit for the rest of the season.
It's time
for a Rachel Nichols interview.
Can I make this last point real quick on J.R. Smith? He has to go to a team with good veteran leadership. To a team. You can't trade for J.R. if you got a team full of young guys.
Oh, no.
Like, that's not the young guy I want around. I either want J.R. to go to Minnesota or Washington.
Why? How are you going to say that and then say those two teams?
Calamity.
Calamity. I was ready for, like, some real predictions.
If he was on Washington, oh, my God, the intrigue would be so good. Every night.
Him and Dwight get into a fight.
He would punch Bradley Beal 100%. I mean, you thought last year when he was out here throwing soup, he out here throwing blows this year. That's what he doing.
No, trade him to Boston. That would be funny with him and Marcus Smart. And each other.
Hey, they definitely hate each other.
That would be terrible, actually.
The only team
actually, you know what? That's a good trade.
The only team I think he could be good on is probably the Spurs. There's no other team other than the Spurs probably that he could actually get minutes and also be good.
We can get some minutes in Philadelphia.
But you know what that reminds me of? You remember in college basketball when Fran Fraschilla would say every college player, he'd make a great Spur. That was what Brian just did. You know where he'd be?
Yeah.
He'd be greater than Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
If you can't be greater than Greg Popovich, you shouldn't be in the league.
Facts.
That's kind of like the Patriots. Like, if you can't play with Brady and Belichick, the NFL ain't for you, bro. You need to find a new occupation.
Go work at State Farm.
UPS is hiring.
You're probably right. But on the Cavs, though, before we get off of that topic, though, your boy Tristan Thompson's actually been balling. Even out here earning that $85 million.
If you don't,
they've been trash.
Tristan Kardashian.
But even out here, they've been giving you a solid like 18 and 15 a game.
Hell
for the
no.
past week. For the past week. Just 1 week. he earned his check for this past week.
Tristan signed that check that he couldn't cash when he was talking about that they're the team to beat.
he definitely went too far saying that.
You ain't got no choice but to do something. Like, I mean, you get minutes, you better do something. And that, I mean, get out of here.
You turning them into production? They still losing because they trash.
That reminds me of that scene on Coach Carter when they're like, those were our two leading scorers from last year. We're going to have new leading scorers this year. Somebody got to score. Somebody got to get rebounds. Somebody got to get blocks. It might as well be Tristan Thompson's $82 million ass. Tristan Thompson's definitely hanging out with Colin Sexton. Like, bro, you're 10 years older than him. Why are you hanging out with him playing Fortnite? Take your ass home to your wife and kid out here. Tristan don't never want to go home. Tristan don't ever want to go home. You know he hates his life. He can't cheat no more like he used to. Everybody know. Everybody hates him for that. You know Tristan can't go home.
Tristan trying to live his best life out here. Let that man cook.
Y'all told me not to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. Did you see your boy LeBron James? Did you see your king?
Oh, we really talking about this on the
podcast.
Yes,
we're talking about it.
I'm here to talk about everything. We're talking about Trump news from the NBA on vote night.
This is real information.
It's Trump news.
LeBron James was on Instagram in a drunken wine stupor.
Shut up.
He's on there. He sees big tits for nips. I don't know why LeBron is following those accounts. Not my king. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Not my king.
You don't have to follow the account to like it.
In my story, he's following the Big Tip for Nips account. That's what he's doing.
Hey, with a name like Big Tip for Nips, you probably are following him. Like, who's just searching Big Tip for Nips out here?
That's not
showing up on the Explore page for LeBron, I just feel like.
He then clicks like on it, and then it's like LeBron forgot how the internet works. Like, I see you like that picture.
That's a heart on that pic. Oh, God.
LeBron double tapped that picture so hard.
That's just so sad that you got people out here that are like watching.
Just grabbing screenshots.
Just waiting for them to do something messed up. And just imagine, like, somebody just sitting in their basement, just got probably four laptops lined up.
Notification game.
With all the biggest stars. He's just watching them, just waiting.
Stay woke,
King. Something going. Just hitting refresh every single time.
Got apps sent to their phones.
And then he finally sees a big titch for Nips and sees King James likes it. And
we got one, guys. We got one.
Savannah came down the stairs so fast, LeBron unliked that picture. Like, you remember when you was kids, you would watch, like, cinematic. You would, like, test how quick you could on last button. That's what LeBron did with that big tits for Nips, bro.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, man.
I can't believe my king would do something like,
man,
that, bro.
I'm telling you, man, it was Bronny, man. Bronny was having
You think Bronny took my dude's phone?
Man, he had that late night. Like I said,
Bronny got to get some better taste. If that's Bronny, we got to get him on that Kevin Durant swag. At least he's out here on, what's old girl's name, Ray Veloso or whatever. At least he's on her.
Hey, man.
We got to get Bronny on some better hoes out
here. Bronny was trying to get that late night rub out. You know,
LeBron was out here striving for greatness. All right, that's what he was out here doing.
Hey, he was gonna start striving. Writing that on his shoes, big tit for Nips, right after Ari or Sir, whatever his daughter's name is.
I can't believe LeBron is first team All Pro and first team All Nasty, hey, bro. Yeah, just nasty.
Because he liked titties. What's wrong with liking titties?
Nothing wrong with that.
LeBron, you can't be the one. You got to go Kevin Durant burner account. You can't be liking Big Tick for Nips from the official,
hey man,
King
that's
James
why I don't
page.
Think it was him. LeBron, he's made too savvy for all that, man. That's it. So it was. There's a story behind that. It ain't just no, oh, yeah, I know that I got somebody watching me, so I'm going to go like this Big Tick for Nips page.
I mean, we've all been in them situations. It's late night, and you make decisions you regret. That's what LeBron was doing.
He was trying to take the heat off Draymond Green. That's what he was doing. He said, I'm going to one-up Draymond Green.
Remember when Draymond Green accidentally sent his penis over the internet? Like, all right, bro. All right, Draymond, you accidentally sent your penis on the internet. Okay, buddy. Just nasty.
Niggas was new to Snapchat.
You cheer for a team of snakes. Those guys over there. I wish AB was here. We could talk about Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose maybe had the best story in the NBA over the last week or so. Derrick Rose, who basically has the Oster Pistorius legs and ligaments. You know he's out here. Poor little tink tink. You know he's poor little tink tink. He's out there. Tink tink tink. Running up and down the court. I feel bad for the guy.
He got battery powered legs.
Yeah. He's out there with the two bent back paper clips out there balling for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
He got to charge his legs up like an iPhone.
He goes out there and he gives the Utah Jazz a 50 ball. He's crying on the court. It's inspirational. Let me ask y'all this on a very serious note, very serious conversation. Who is your what if basketball player? That if you could go back in time and you could bless their knee or back or whoever it would be to make sure they fully healthy for the duration of their career.
I'm picking Brandon Roy. Brandon Roy was on his way to being my guy for the Trailblazers. I don't know what – I just love this game.
Light-skinned guy. Then you traded on him.
He was my guy. He was just coming up, and I was following his game. I always liked his game. But he just – injuries took him away way too fast.
Mine would be Grant Hill. Grant Hill, man, he's already considered one of the greats, but I think that Grant Hill could have had one of those careers where we would be talking about him as, you know, a top 10 player that ever played the game. Like, he wasn't the freak athlete that LeBron was, but his game, like, he was LeBron before LeBron came. Just that do it all, handle the ball, 6'7", 6'8". You know, he was athletic, like he could do it all, but he ended up having a long career, but it wasn't a career that he really could have had. Like I said, I honestly feel that Grant Hill could have been a top 10 player of all time if he would have stayed healthy his whole career.
I was expecting Brian to say them early Steph Curry years when he had them.
Hey.
He had them iPhone charger ankles. His ankles were super
low
flimsy.
Low key, I wanted to say that. I ain't going to lie to you.
He had them super
flimsy. If I could have had that season and a half back, Could have added an extra 2,000 points to the point total.
He got an extra ring during that time frame.
Right before they built them Wakanda under armors.
He got the vibranium in his in them ugly ass under armors.
Vibranium threes.
Whatever you got to do to keep them ankles in check.
Yo, but for real though, we don't really talk about that enough with Steph Curry. Is like, as great as he is, his career very easily could have went the other way. It kind of looked like we wasn't really going to get to see Steph. And I know he's battled with injuries since then. Steph's been relatively healthy when you compare it to the first three seasons of his career, where it looked like he was always going to be hurt.
Yeah, for sure. He's done all the training and physically and got his body right. So that was the main thing, because he's definitely talked about it in interviews. He had to change the way he worked out and had a strength and conditioning coach. He had a whole bunch of stuff he had to do to overcome. It wasn't just about just the skill and being out there. The long season was taking a toll on his body.
Right. It was actually a blessing in disguise, because if you think about it,
wouldn't have got none of the stuff they got without that cheap contract.
If Steph would have been Steph back then, like this stuff that we're seeing now, like I don't think that we would be seeing this right now, because you would have had to – he would be paid, you know, even though he's paid now, but he would have had to get paid
earlier. He might have been elevated more just – statistically from his own standpoint, but it definitely wouldn't have been a dynasty and all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
because he would have had to do more.
My guy would actually probably be Penny Hardaway. I think we talk about guys that like really kind of revolutionized the position, like as odd as it sounds, like it kind of went from Magic, and then you kind of thought Penny could be that next dude, like a bigger kind of point forward, a guy that could do a whole lot of stuff. Play with Shaq at the prime of his career. Who knows what kind of happens like after he kind of gets away from him. If I could go back and give any player healthy, because to your point about Grant Hill is, we didn't get Grant Hill's like entire peak, but he at least like got through it enough where he at least turned out to be a healthy player. Where we got to see a good like, and then man, that didn't happen to Penny Hardaway, man. Like we never at least got to see him kind of battle back from the injuries. And hell, not even have the Derrick Rose resurgence. Like that never even happened for Penny. If I could go back and fix anybody, I think I fix Penny Hardaway.
I'm surprised nobody said T-Mac.
T-Mac to me is kind of the same thing as Grant Hill is. We didn't get to see him like fully at his powers, but like we saw enough really good T-Mac to appreciate.
To me, T-Mac had enough peak power. He had more peak power years than Grant Hill did.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's how he made it to the Hall. But
yeah, he had way more peak power years than Grant Hill. Like there was a stretch where T-Mac could be talked about as a top player in the league.
Yeah.
You know, between that 2004 to 2007, 2008. Like, if Kobe wasn't around, if LeBron wasn't up and coming, like, T-Mac, you know, he could have been considered one of the best players. He was putting up numbers. Oh. You know, he's putting up 40 balls easily. especially when he went to Houston, you know.
Scored easily with that lazy eye or lazy eyes.
Yeah. I've always liked T-Mac's game, you know, even when he was with Toronto, he developed. Like, when you saw him in Toronto, you just thought that he was just going to be an athletic dude that could dunk. But, like, he really became a true scorer in the league. But I think, he had enough years to where I wouldn't consider him. It's like Steph. Like, they had some injuries, but they had enough years where it's like, oh, yeah, they was that dude.
We knew what they could do.
That's everything on the list today. Did nothing really happen this week in the league? A lot of the stuff happened at the early part of the week. And, like, now that we get to it with the Jimmy Butler and all that kind of stuff, it's like, we waiting for the next week. Don't worry. I mean, LeBron still got more Instagram pictures to like. He still got more out here to like.
Is he going to be still hitting up more parties after losses is the real
question. To me, LeBron kind of have the attitude of, y'all look bad, not me. I'm LeBron. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of all of y'all here if I need to. So y'all better be on y'all best behavior, or I'm telling you,
he knows
I will send you to Memphis.
And
he
ain't going nowhere. They're not trading LeBron. That's definitely what's not happening.
Yeah, but to me, LeBron knows, like I thought from the very beginning, LeBron kind of had that mindset of year one is get acclimated and I'll be lost. Man, I didn't move to Los Angeles to act like I'm in Cleveland. I could never go to Diddy's house after the game when I was in Cleveland. Now I can. Y'all lost. I didn't lose that game. I did what I was supposed to do. I scored my 28-9. Brandon Ingram, what'd you do today? Lonzo Ball, you went 2-for-7 today. You don't go nowhere.
They all go out. This isn't something new. Like, they all go out. Like, even last year when Jordan Clarkson was still in L.A., like, you would always see pictures of them at some party after the game. Like, it's L.A. Like, it's freaking L.A. Stars. Like, it's like Stephen A. was saying, like, it is a buffet of shit to do in L.A. every single night of the week. So, I mean, of course it's going to be magnified because they just got the doors blown off of them with Toronto and how they started that. So, you knew that that's why it was going to be magnified. But if they wouldn't have had that bad first quarter, if they would have just lost to Toronto, it wouldn't have been no story. It became a story because they put up that historically bad first quarter. Then you add, couple that with what happened with the whole meeting with Luke Walton and Magic and all that. So, yeah, that's going to become a story. But it's L.A., man. This should be expected. If I'm playing and I don't care if I lost by 30, I'm going out.
You going to be live tonight? I'm out, man. You at Hyde. You at 1-0.
It's L.A. That's my life. Like, as long as I put in a hard – now, I can just, if LeBron came out and he just – lollygagged the whole game, didn't really do nothing. He put up, you know, he's 1-for-19 or something like that. And then afterwards, he go out like for instance, what year was that? 2 years ago
when
Harden went out.
Harden couldn't wait to go to Ireland after that game. Wait to go to Dreams.
I can understand the backlash from that because they just it's the playoffs. You just played bad, not bad, terrible. And that's supposed to be – you supposed to be the guy that's carrying his team. And then 2 hours later, you out kicking it. Like, I can understand that. But regular season, and like I said, it ain't like LeBron played terrible. Like, it's L.A. Like, you're going to go out. It happens. And he's with his wife. Like, it was a special occasion, too, with Diddy.
He probably had to take her after liking that picture on Instagram. He probably had to do that. All right, let me ask you this, and I'll get us all out of here. Who lasts in L.A. longer, Luke Walton or Kyle Kuzma?
What?
I want to know what you think.
What kind of question is that? Yeah, it's going to be Kuzma.
Is that a real question?
I actually think Kuzma can get traded for some bigger pieces. Yeah. He seemed like one of those.
Kyle Kuzma is going to be in L.A.
Yeah, he's there to stay.
Long term?
Kyle Kuzma is going to be in L.A.
You can go ahead and mark this. Go ahead and mark this.
Kyle Kuzma is going to be in – unless – and let me put this caveat. Unless it's a trade that involves Anthony Davis, that's the only way I can see him leaving.
Brian, go ahead and mark the tape.
Please mark it.
I think you would be there.
There is no chance that Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma are on the team to start next year.
Oh, yeah.
No way both of them are on the team.
I think Brandon Ingram's
gone. One of them is gone. So maybe you're right that Kyle Kuzma's on the team, that Brandon Ingram's gone. They are not –
are you
significantly better next year with both of them on
the team? So are you saying that they're gonna trade them this year?
I was going off what you said earlier. You said that you think Luke Walton gets fired at the end of the year.
Yes.
I think that either Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma are going to be off the team at the end
but
of the
why
year.
Would,
one of them's going to be off the team.
Well, why would they have to start something new? Why would they have to go if they make it all the way to the end of next year? There's no reason to get rid of them. Unless they're trading for Anthony Davis. Because the only other big fish out there that you would say that they would have to give up somebody for is Kawhi Leonard. They would have to trade for him in the middle of the season. But if you wait to the end of next year, you don't have to do that. He can just walk in the door with Kuzma and Ingram still there.
They also could do the sign-and-trade where he gets the maximum money for signing with Toronto to then go to the Lakers. And then Toronto at least gets something for Kawhi Leonard.
Do you think Kawhi is going to be?
It's possible.
Okay, well.
I can't throw out theories on the
podcast. Hey, you showed
podcast.
That's why
we're out your hot take.
I can't throw out theories on the Shoe for Ball podcast.
But,
ain't this the barbershop? If you can't talk in the barbershop, where can we talk it at? Hey. I can't say it on the Shoe for Ball podcast.
But back to the original question. Luke would definitely leave before Kyle Kuzma's out of there.
You got anything y'all want to promote, man, on Instagram, man? Big tips for buying, man? I just want to know before we close. I want to know if you got something you got to promote.
No, I got some stuff that I'm going to be promoting. You know, Thanksgiving coming up. We got, you know, Turkey Tuesday and different things like that coming up. So we got a couple weeks for that.
And it's high 88 bag immediately.
No, man, that's something good for the community. So I'm always going to promote that. But, we got a couple weeks to be able to do that. All I got for that.
All right, for Stromile Swift over here, for my man Tyrus Thomas.
This nigga, yeah.
For our guy Garrett Thomas, who's out for the day. You listen to the Shoot for Ball podcast.